Welcome back to another exciting episode of Whatever Town. It sounded like a Dateline show or something when I started talking like that. I didn't want to talk about that.
I was thinking you're about to take requests.
For?
Songs.
Dates. Oh.
Like on the radio.
Got that wrong.
So, quickly, before we jump into anything else, let's talk about my tree.
Oh, yeah.
It's dead.
Oh, no.
Guess what? The factor you didn't think
it's
of.
It's not when, nearly Christmas.
When you heard me say that, you thought to yourself, wow, you idiot, Ryan. You probably didn't water it. You were all wrong. I'm hurt.
I thought
it
that for
came
sure.
Dead.
No way.
Believe this.
It looked great last week.
It still looks pretty great.
Yeah.
Sarah and I started putting lights on, and we're like, man, a lot of needles are falling off.
It's not even halfway lit.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden, you could put your hand on one of the branches and run your hand across, and the whole branch would be all gone. So it was dead already. It's also, yeah. So I have to bring it back.
How was it taking so much water then?
I don't know. That really kills my theory. You should not have asked that question.
You should try
on air.
Very hard to revive it or set it on fire.
It would burn. It's dry.
Are you required? You said bring it back. Do you have to go and swap it or can you just toss it?
I could probably toss it. I feel like bringing it back. I feel like I want to be like, look, try for yourself.
Try it out. Plug it in. See if it works.
Yeah. Sucky thing is, it's a decently nice shaped tree. And I'm going to get a sucky one because all the good ones are gone by now. Fluff.
Oh, yikes.
But I'll tell you what, that's not really important because today what's really important is it's another day that we're recording with another guy. Ooh, please gross. Welcome to the podcast for the very first time, Jeff.
Hey.
Hepner.
Oh, I even got the last name.
Hey, man.
Feel important.
Wah, wah, wah.
And what's your name?
My name is Ryan.
I'm John.
I forgot to say that.
I'm Tim.
We always forget to say it.
Do you think people confused. Have forgotten by now?
Probably. What about the people that hop in like 5 episodes, 10 episodes, 20 even, because that's our repertoire.
But if you
we're
do
counting
that,
on some hop-ons.
No. if you jump into a podcast like mid-season, you have to go back to the beginning because you're going to miss tons of content.
That's true.
You're going to be lost. It's like jumping in the middle of a TV show.
It's like jumping in the middle of Lost. You'd be so
You should
lost.
Never jump into any portion of Lost.
The first two seasons. The first two seasons I enjoyed.
If I jump into a new podcast and I make the mistake of listening to not the very first episode, I'm screwed. Because then the production quality is probably a little bit better. They've probably ironed some wrinkles out, and I cannot go back to the beginning. Then I'll try and I'll be like, I'll start at the beginning now. And I'm like, I wouldn't have listened to this if I would have heard this maybe. And then I jump right back up.
I even listened to the first episode we put out, and there's so much reverb on our voices. It's so hard to listen to it. It's so bad. It was only a year ago. We've grown so much.
We've come so far. But yeah, Jeff, thanks for being on the show.
Thanks for having me. What a show.
Thanks for listening.
Oh, it's so pleasurable.
It's so strange and nice to hear that at the same time. Surprising, strange, and nice to hear that someone else is interested in this show. Is that weird to say? I feel like we all feel the same
way. That's very weird.
It's the only entertainment-based podcast I listen to, and it's so relatable. I'm listening to it, and I'm like, I totally get this. This is life.
That's just the best news.
Cool.
Because when we try to explain this to someone, and let me tell you, I've tried. We say, yeah, it's like a podcast, but like we don't really have a subject. We kind of just talk about whatever. Oh, so you just didn't plan anything, and you just talk about random crap. It's like, well, we plan, but like it's hard to make it sound good.
Maybe yeah, but what are those people doing with their lives?
I don't know. One of them was my cousin.
Listening to Sarah Koenig.
I'm kidding.
Listening to what?
Sarah Koenig.
Oh, I thought you said Sarah Palin.
I did too.
Well, wow. What a switch.
Well, a throwback.
Slightly different approach to content between those two.
I think you're right.
Who did you say?
Koenig. Cereal?
Oh.
Yeah.
I know Cereal.
Yeah.
Eat podcast. It every day. Kidding. Actually, never have cereal. I eat oatmeal. And it makes me throw up sometimes.
You had cereal here multiple times.
Is oatmeal a cereal, though?
Sorry, it didn't actually make me throw up. It almost made me throw up. I have had cereal here before. If I'm going to have it, it's going to be for bed snack.
Oh, I see.
What?
I don't eat it in the morning because it doesn't fill me up.
Well, that's because you got to have a ton of it.
True.
You're not eating enough cereal.
Yeah.
My issue is quantity here, not the product itself.
Yeah. See? All problems can be solved with more of it.
That's my approach to food. I need to have it all in my mouth as soon as I can, and that's how I enjoy it the most.
Yeah.
And then I swallow it.
Except hot pizza.
Oh, hot pizza.
Stupid. Way to bring that back.
You betcha. I've been thinking about that for a while.
Anytime we have
pizza now, I wait 10 minutes. I used to be so anxious, not anxious, what's the word? I used to be so eager to eat it that I would like just sit there and like, and then like take a bite and then blow on the next bite.
Yeah.
But now I just wait.
Yeah.
And now I can just eat it all.
What order are your toppings? Do you have cheese on top?
Probably because it's keeping
away.
Because I
wonder if that's...
That's your issue.
Are you talking about homemade or otherwise?
Oh yeah, I guess.
Usually,
yeah,
maybe you're... It's not homemade.
Oh, okay.
This is... the cheese would be near the top for sure.
Post this episode coming out, Jeff came into my shop and immediately brought up this topic.
Absolutely.
About pizza.
Really?
And
what
how,
is your what are your thoughts?
Yeah, share your takes.
My thoughts? I guess I'm a bit of a crazy person because I like that pizza when it's like lava hot and it's for sure going
really?
To... attack me. I want to get in that bite right away and just melt my mouth.
But it hurts though.
Briefly. And okay. Then you like and then
you don't get to taste anything else for the rest
of the
day.
No, you got to learn the technique. I mean, when I was young, I would just burn the crap out of my tongue, but now I figured out how to burn the crap out of the roof of my mouth so I can still taste.
Wow.
Yeah.
The roof takes the brunt of the heat.
Yeah, exactly. And then you're good to go, and then you can just like hammer down that lava hot slice.
Wow. I don't know if I can agree with that.
Oh well,
I mean, I don't disagree.
Most people
with it.
Don't.
I
think
do
I'm kind of on an island by myself on this one. But hey, whatever. It's how I like to do.
So it was just Black Friday. I don't know if you guys got involved in that.
I did.
Get any
not.
Sweet deals?
I didn't get anything.
Guess what happened?
What?
I was gonna buy some stuff because Frank and Oak had some good sales. Sarah put through her car insurance and a course she has to take on my credit card in this that same
ooh.
Day, and so it brimmed up my card, and so I paid it off. But it takes 3 to 4 days for that payment to go through, so I missed all. I couldn't get anything.
You
Black
couldn't
Friday.
Even Cyber Monday. Yet?
Couldn't do anything.
Oh.
Got nothing.
Oh, because it was over the weekend.
Yeah,
they probably don't even look at that crap over the weekend.
Heck no.
But now, like Black Friday sales, don't they last like? 4
there's
weeks.
Still well, Black like, Friday.
Yeah.
Cyber month.
Oh, it's Black Friday for the whole month of November.
Until Christmas, pretty
yeah.
They should just change the name of November to Blackvember. It just extends the Black Friday thing.
Pretty much is. Yeah. Black Friday is more a state of mind now. It's not just a day. It's a
state of
being.
Of being a real sucker.
It's a state of showing you how crazy our margins actually are.
Absolutely.
That's what Black Friday
is. It's basically saying you're a moron the rest of the year if you buy any of this stuff.
Canadian Tire says that all the time. Canadian Tire is like, if you've ever bought anything full price here, you're completely stupid.
Oh, yeah.
It's a 700% markup.
Yeah.
And when we drop it down and it's blowing your mind, we're still making plenty.
Oh, yeah. They're never going to take a loss on anything they've got.
That's such a horrible thing to realize when you see the price changes sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
Crazy.
Stupid.
What about Black Friday? We took over that.
The
sorry.
Thing I wanted to transition into sneakily was my favorite thing I saw on Black Friday. So Cards Against Humanity typically does a gag on Black Friday of some sort. A year or two ago, people could just donate money and they would dig a pit. And for as long as the money kept coming in, they were digging a pit as some commentary on throwing your money into a pit. They've done all sorts of things.
Did they actually do this?
Yeah, and then they live streamed it.
Did they keep all the money?
Wow, that's incredible.
What? They kept all the money?
No, they gave it to the guy with the backhoe.
Oh,
yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah. They hired a guy.
I hope he made a boatload because that's amazing.
It was like a day of work.
Oh. That's the pit.
Holy smokes.
Yeah. That's some proper equipment they got there.
They're starting a new mine.
That's
so this Black Friday, what they did was they had a 99% off sale. Every 10 minutes, there was a new deal, 99% off. They had all sorts of things. It started out with a $20 bill for 20 cents.
What?
Moved on to an 85-inch TV, a smart TV, $35.
Were these real?
Yes. They're
what?
Real. So what happens was I tried to buy a few of them. I didn't get in on any of them.
Is it like a first, like it's a one-shot deal?
Yeah, so every 10 minutes it would become available. There would be a timer. It would count down. And then you would click buy now. And then you had to answer like a trivia question related to that item. And then by the time I had Googled the answer, it was sold out because it was just one of each. Some of the other things that they had for sale. A 17th century Italian halberd for $18.50.
Oh, that's a weapon. That's
a
like
life-size Orlando Bloom cutout for 75 cents. A 2015 red Ford Fiesta for $97.
No!
A presidential mahogany casket for $31.
What?
A 1.5 carat lab-grown diamond engagement ring for $32.
Oh, my word.
An $800 Applebee gift card for $8.
Holy crap.
An original lithograph Picasso painting for $60. Bill Pullman's actual flight suit from Independence Day for $39. A portable sauna for $1.70.
Oh my word.
A $100 bill for $1. Big Bertha arcade game for $9. A 5-day vacation to Fiji for two for $71. Should I keep going?
Yes.
A Bowflex. Gucci Princeton goat hair slides.
What
500 pounds of garbanzo beans for $5.79.
Wow. Did somebody actually get that?
Yes.
They're all sold out.
They're all sold out. I don't know. A bust of former President Barack Obama. 8-foot gummy python. We'll post a link. Please take a look. The descriptions for all of these are amazing.
That is...
Wow. I'm still in shock.
I'm still scrolling. There were so many things.
You didn't get any?
At the end of the day, you could buy the Spirit of Black Friday for $999.
What the crap is that?
Ooh, you could have bought a guitar signed by Jimmy Carter for $23. Make up your own story for why Jimmy Carter signed this guitar. This is all to promote their like latest expansion, which so they're normally $20. This current expansion is $2,000, but is marked down to $20.
Oh.
So it's 99% off. I'm guessing it might just forever stay at 99% off.
This is incredible.
Yeah.
There's some smart people.
So I don't know how much money that would have cost them in the end. Because they gave away like a car and a coffin. And
that's some phenomenal marketing, though.
Yeah.
They absolutely knocked that out of the park.
Yeah.
There's obviously a lot of money that they sunk into acquiring all this crap that they basically just crap their pants about.
Yeah, and there's some odd items in here.
They got a free $999 really at the end, though. Spirit of Black Friday.
Oh, yeah, yes.
Did someone buy it?
Yeah, it sold out.
Oh, my freaking word.
Is it an actual thing? Like, is there a...
Oh, wait, no, they didn't make money on that. They donated the proceeds to...
Greater Chicago Food.
Yeah.
Depository.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
It's lightly used, skin-like texture, and you've wanted this costume all day. Oh, it's like a morph suit that the guy was wearing. Okay.
So they have little videos for each product with a guy in a morph suit. So they sold a morph suit for $1,000.
Oh, that's so cool.
Ooh, should have put in on that 10-day vacation to Antarctica for $180.
Nah.
Oh.
That sounds cold and not like something I'd ever do.
Oh, Antarctica.
This is for real. Do not purchase if you do not actually want to go to Antarctica.
Yeah.
Think about winning those things. How stoked would you be?
Yeah.
In a car for $90?
Like, by the end of it, people are paying $900 for a suit, and they're just excited that they got it. Like, they wanted to get it as fast as they could because they want to be the person to get it.
Well, you think about it, one of the main motivating factors for a lot of people is, like, the story. Because they're sold out to the brand.
Yeah.
So they love this story behind this thing. Like, oh, I got this ridiculous deal for this promotion that they were running. And whether or not they're actually going to ever wear the morph suit, because that's... I mean, those things are still very creepy to look at. But there's a lot... There's a lot of weight behind that in terms of marketing and that. Like, I love stuff like that. Like, you do something completely outside of the box. You made a super talkable event happen.
Mm-hmm.
You provided a wow factor for the guy that got a vacation for two to Fiji for, what was it, $37 or something ridiculous?
$70.
Yeah. $70. Ooh, wow. Put the bank on that one. But that's super genius.
Yeah.
Because for a company that size, like, yeah, they probably dumped a lot of money into it, but you look at that ripple effect of what happened out of that.
Right.
I'm going to buy everything they've made because of this.
Probably.
So that was my favorite thing from Black Friday for some festive content.
Quite festive. Super related to Christmas.
The news.
We got it. Did you guys see the giant cow on Twitter or
sounds like
elsewhere?
You're setting up a joke.
Yeah.
So hey, did you hear the one about the giant cow?
No.
So there's this giant... Okay, so actually, there's this, no other way to put it, but just an enormous steer in Australia. And there was some pictures and videos. We've pulled them up in studio here. So here's the live reaction.
My word. were...
It's as tall as the guy. Like, it goes over his head. The back of it.
That's a lot of beef.
So this cow was going around the internet. Well, the pictures were of this cow just standing, like, a full head above all the other cattle that it's with.
That's what I saw.
Now, it turns out that's because the cattle it's with are a different kind that grow to be only 4.5 feet. But this cow is 6'4", which is quite tall.
That's pretty huge.
Potentially the biggest cow in Australia, it said.
That could be true. Now, here's the local angle on it, which was my sister had been to this farm nearby, and she was like, I remember they got a cow, and it was pretty big. And within a day or two, all the Manitoba newspapers are talking about the story of Manitoba's own cow, Dozer, measures 6'5". What? It's bigger than the Australian one.
Get out of town.
So, some little Manitoba news here.
Oh, that's the picture that I saw. Dozer. I was wondering why you guys were saying knickers.
That's the Australian cow.
Okay.
And according to this article, Dozer is a big, cuddly sweetheart who gets along well with horses on the farm. He's got a soul. Can't eat him.
They're about to chop that guy up for beef, I'll tell you that for free.
Oh, I'd eat those briskets.
Wow, I didn't realize that, that had a connection.
Yeah.
I thought Manitoba cow was just a word for a kind of cow.
So if you want to see a 6'5" cow, go to Kismet Creek Farm in Manitoba.
Crazy.
Wow. Yeah, I think it was a bit of a classic Twitter huge reaction to one thing that like isn't necessarily a unique thing. It's just people saw it and
they freaked out about it because normally people don't see cows. Like people that live in like cities, like they don't see cows. Like
that's what blew my mind. Growing up on a farm and then having friends from like the city and from different places, and they're all blown away. Like you had cows. Like wow, it's a big deal. Nope,
it's an animal.
That's pretty normal.
Yeah. I guess because like a month ago there was that viral video of the moose, and it was like I didn't know moose were this big, but it was just a moose.
That's just the standard moose.
Moose are big.
They are big.
Moose
are big.
I guess people just don't know.
Moose are freaking big.
Yeah.
So, I listened to a podcast that I'm sure we've spoken of before, known as Building a Story Brand Podcast by Donald Miller. Been listening to it for like, probably like 2 years, maybe more, for so long.
Yeah.
It's the first podcast I really dug into. I listen to it every single week. He's great. I like his interview style. He just brings on really, really good guests. A majority of the books that I've read, I've gotten from the people that he's brought on. And I'm like, oh, this is great. And then I look into it, and then I buy a book, and then I read the book, and it's great. So they always talk about this thing called the Enneagram.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, this is like a
always.
Big thing in that world?
For sure. Okay. Like so many guests will come on, and it's a number system. It's a personality test, basically, and it's a 1-9 number system. And they'll come on, and they'll have guests on, and random guests will be like, that makes sense, though, because I'm a 5. And it's like, it just goes over as like, oh, okay, you know? And I'm always like, what? What are we talking about?
They need to provide context.
Right. But because it's such a normal thing for them all to go through, then they just don't even think that they need to explain anything. So that's been like a couple years of me on and off hearing that throughout. And so this past week they had someone on whose name is Ian Cron. And he's like, I think there's a bunch of like self-proclaimed like, geniuses in this world are like, hey, I can teach about the Enneagram. Like everybody kind of has their own, I don't know, view on it. But anyways, or thinks that they can teach about it. He seems to have done a lot of research into it. Donald Miller speaks really highly of him. So like, oh, that's interesting. I should look into this a little bit more. I should maybe take the Enneagram test. So I did. And then I told all of you to. And then I told all of my staff to. And now I feel like I've been talking about it all week with a bunch of different people since Monday. And it's Thursday.
Oh, wow.
So I don't know. I was like, maybe it would be interesting if we all did it and talked about it, and then we could talk about it.
Cool. I did it before we started recording, and a bit when we started. So I finished it
You literally did it like as we sat down.
Yep.
That's great.
So that's why Tim wasn't talking for the first 15 minutes.
And I'm happy to report that I scored a perfect score, 9 out of 9.
Wow.
Nice. So from 1 to 9 and I got a 9.
Wow,
so
that's
so true. I answered all 90 questions correctly.
I think it's like 98, isn't it?
I feel like it stopped at 90. Maybe it's not the same amount every time. Wouldn't that be something?
That would be something.
It would be for sure something.
I feel like if you all of a sudden had like half as many questions as other people, it just means you're very simple.
Just immediately recognize. Well, you said no to that. You only get 20 questions now.
I mean, the first time I heard about the Enneagram, somebody told me to do it, and they said it was only 2 questions long. So the first one I did was like 2 things, and it's just like, do you identify with one of these things?
What?
And then the next one was, do you identify with one of these?
Oh my!
Oh wow!
Really?
Yeah.
Oh man.
What did you get out of it?
The same result?
No, a different result. But I mean, you're kind of just placing yourself within like 2 questions, right? So it's hard to have any confidence in.
You chose 2 out of 4 answers.
I don't
know,
you're just like, if I get one question, if I answer one of these questions wrong, my whole identity is off, according to this.
Yeah. Oh,
so,
no.
It's a lot of pressure.
Is that who I
question.
Actually am? And then you have to think
I
about
I took
it
the
forever.
Full version that Ryan sent, and then I felt like, oh, I can get a few of these wrong, and it'll probably okay. average out.
Like
yeah.
90-some.
There's so many of those personality tests.
There's a bunch.
There's a lot.
Like Myers-Briggs is a big one. Yeah. DISC is one
DISC
that we've talked
huge.
About. Yeah.
We do a lot of work. Well, not a lot of work, but yeah, done a bit of work around DISC. And
yep. I've used Myers-Briggs at work, like the 16personalities.com.
Yeah.
I actually had all my staff do that.
There's the animal one too. Have you ever done that one?
The animal one?
Yeah.
I've not
There's
done
There's like
that.
4 animals. There's like a lion, pig. Beaver, an otter. I can't remember what the last one is.
Interesting.
Beaver and otter test. Wait, is this like, it's kind of analyzing of your personality, which of these animals are you closest to?
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Yeah. Because the lion is something like, you know, brave leader kind of thing. And otter okay. is creative. Beaver is hardworking. And I can't remember if there's 1 or 2 more.
Hmm. Wow.
Or there might be like 40 more and I just don't remember. But those are 3 of them anyway. But that's a thing.
Yeah,
but
there's a bunch.
With those personality things, it's like, it'd be interesting and, I don't know, I'd probably want to smash my head through a ton of bricks, you know, halfway through the day. But it'd be interesting to take a day and do all those tests in their full and complete forms because you can take like the short form of all those tests and you can take the full one, but to do all those ones and see where you rank on all of them, because I don't think that any one of them is full and complete and accurate.
Right.
Right.
Like there's just way too many variables. And even though like, yeah, maybe as a rule, you can throw a person into one of 4 main categories. Like the DISC system is based not on just identifying one thing, it's about where every single thing is on your whole chart.
Yeah, they're all more kind of guides, not like this is scientifically who you are. Yeah.
Right.
It's more of a aid, I guess, in like how you interact with people.
Understanding yourself a little bit better.
Okay.
Being helpful in that process.
Hmm. So how are you using that?
Which one? Myers-Briggs or specifically the Enneagram right now? So like I said, I'll quickly talk about Myers-Briggs. I had all my staff do it and it was very interesting actually, because they give you ways to use it situationally. Like, oh, if you're in a work setting and this is happening with this person, it'll be, that was the Myers-Briggs.
Mm-hmm.
So there's actually some very valuable things in that from a work perspective. I feel like Enneagram will be similar from what I have dug into it so far. It's just been for me. I haven't looked into like, oh, I wonder what my staff would be and how I could use this in a valuable way to help. But the main thing that I think I would use it for in a work sense would be to help communicate more clearly to people or in a way that they would understand.
Yeah.
Because that's something that I've definitely learned in business, but also even in marriage is just like, in marriage as well. It's like, there's just a fundamentally different way that you and I understand or perceive very similar things.
Yep.
And me saying this to you means something very different to you. Mm. And you saying this to me means something totally different to me, which is very interesting. So I think that this is another tool that can be helpful to maybe understand people a little bit better and maybe communicate a little bit better.
Have you read the book, Everyone Communicates, Few Connect?
I am familiar with it, but I have not read it.
We did that.
It's in my cart on Amazon.
Well, freaking pull the trigger.
I know, I have too many.
Just wait until that that payment clears your credit card and hammer down.
Yeah. Fill it right back up.
Yeah. No, we did that with our whole team with Al Rattan. Locally, he led the he's a Maxwell, John Maxwell certified trainer human. I don't know what the actual title is, but
I think that's
That'll do.
Yeah.
But yeah, we did it with the team, and it's great. Like, yeah, communication. It's number one. Like that can make or break anything.
Yeah.
And the thing is that what a lot of people, what they don't get about just even having conversations with people is that some people, when they're presenting information, they'll present it very differently.
Mm-hmm.
And some people, the way they receive information is very different. So the whole goal is trying to match those things up.
Mm.
But so many people put so much of that responsibility on the person talking, and then that alleviates a lot of responsibility from the listener. And but it's 50-50.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
That's cool. I like that you're doing that.
Yeah, it's fun. Yeah. And personally, like, I love digging into these things and like being like, wow, that makes so much sense. This one has been really a lot more interesting than I found Myers-Briggs to be. And this guy, Ian Crown, has a podcast called Typology, I believe, which I've listened to a bunch of episodes. They had John Mark McMillan on just not that long ago, which is interesting listening to him in that context. But it's really interesting. I'm very known to go 100%. I'm either like, this is so amazing, I love it so much, it's like this thing I just tried, I know everything about it, and I love it. Sarah's always like, Ryan, you don't know anything about this, and you've had it for one moment. You need to take some stock here of the situation. So I apologize if I come across that way. But anyways, it's been really interesting to me. I was a 4 on the, and I got a little thing that was a little PDF that actually came with the podcast this week, which is kind of nice. Gave a little podcast. Type 4 is called the romantic. The hopeless romantic is another one. Are you laughing at me?
No.
Is that the name that the like the website gave? Did you say something about earlier?
So there's a website called the Enneagram Institute, which breaks down a ton of stuff. There's a ton of stuff on there, so I did not read all of it. But what they said was there's not actually any official names attached to any of the numbers. They did a number system because they didn't want you to see a name and be like, no, I don't associate with, or that doesn't make sense with who I am at all. When in reality, it's like, doesn't quite portray the whole piece of it.
Yeah.
Does that make sense at all?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, it does.
Cool. I'll quickly read mine. I'm just curious about what you guys are because I thought that this might be interesting. Creative, sensitive, and temperamental. 4s are motivated by a need to be unique and special. Ugh. I hate
you not identify with this.
I was so sad. I read a bunch of stuff about it and I read it to Sarah and I'm like, this is totally wrong. I gotta do it again. And Sarah's just sitting there smiling. She's like, that's exactly perfect. And I was like, oh, sucks. But here's the interesting thing. They say nobody's exactly one number. You'll always have a wing. So the wing is a number adjacent to your number. So me, it can either be a 3 or a 5.
Yep.
Sometimes you can identify really strongly with one of those wings and it can play into your identity more than, or your personality more than others. So for me, type 3 would be something that I would also really connect with, which is more success oriented, image conscious, very affected by how people view them. And that's also something that is very a part of who I am. So I thought that was interesting. But anyways, what about you guys?
I was a 9. I don't know what that means. I didn't read anything about it. I got far enough to complete the quiz and realize that I'm a peacemaker.
Yeah.
And my, did you say wing?
Yeah.
The wing?
Mm-hmm.
I'm a 3 and a 6.
That's different. Called your growth. That's called like your, it's how you, your growth connection. So one of those will be stress and one of those will be growth. So the Enneagram has this like image. It's like a star almost kind of thing.
I feel like I should have taken a course before I came on.
Sorry. I know. I don't want it to seem like I'm trying to lecture everyone. And it's hard to explain without looking at it. But each number is connected to two other numbers.
Yeah.
So one of those, when you're like an unhealthy version of yourself, you'll act in a bit of an unhealthy way. What's your stress number? Is it pointing towards?
6.
Yeah. So when you're a little bit unhealthy.
I'm a loyalist when I'm unhealthy.
You'll have some of the negative qualities of the 6.
Oh.
And when you're operating in a really healthy way, you'll have some of the positive qualities of.
romantic.
Of a four, which is me.
No, three.
Three?
Yeah, this is three.
Three isn't romantic.
That it says that for me.
Oh, really? What? No. What? No, you're reading it wrong.
For me, it says four is romantic.
Three is romantic?
Three, romantic.
Such romantic.
Oh, the same thing. We found a glitch in this whole system. Enneagram is going down.
Oh, man.
That's annoying because this is the same resource.
We got to burn this whole
Somebody hacked the Enneagram.
I don't know what I am now.
Russia.
Fluff. How can I trust this? Annoying. What about you?
I got a type one.
Wait, we're just going to glaze over the fact that mine was inaccurate?
Yep. I just don't
know. Yep.
Wait, nothing we can do about it.
Sorry. It goes back to the thing of the words are like given by whoever. Like you can Google it and each number will have different names attached to each number.
Then what's the point?
The description. Very confusing. The description more than the name was kind of the point.
Yeah, but why name? Anyway,
why give it a name so that it would be more relatable for people?
John's a perfectionist, I just learned.
I don't know that I am, though. That's what it tells me.
Hmm.
So,
meticulous, hardworking, and reliable. Ones are motivated by a need to perfect themselves, others, and the world.
That sounds pretty accurate. That sounds like John.
That's what
okay.
To me, you'd be also a very strong. Broad sense. You'd be a very strong two as well, or even an I.
That's what I thought I would be from that two-question test.
Super accurate.
Warm, caring, and giving. Twos are motivated by a need to be needed. But I could also see you as a nine.
I don't know that I need
I could
to
also
be
see you more as a nine, which is what Tim is.
Here's
I'm a
the
peacemaker.
Thing.
Yeah.
When my friend got me to do the two question version, I said two or nine, maybe one.
So you're a one.
This
with
website
a nine
tells
wing.
Me I'm a one.
With a nine wing, probably.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So I don't know. I don't know if this is right at all.
No, I know.
But,
me neither.
Maybe it is.
Wow.
I think for me, so my stress thing is for romantic. It might be the reverse of that, which is romantic is stress to me. So I don't know. How
it's kind of saying the same thing you are. It's saying that romance causes you stress.
Yeah, yeah. So that absolutely 100% true. So I do trust it there.
Wow.
Jeff, what were you?
Apparently a one.
Hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
Interesting.
What is the one that
perfect to me?
Exactly. You bet.
Meticulous, hardworking, and reliable. Ones are motivated by a need to perfect themselves, others, and the world. That's what the small write-up is.
Yeah.
I feel like I can see that with you, though.
I don't.
You know why?
I mean, to some degree, some of the questions there were very conflicting. Like I can't think of any examples off the top of my head, but I remember some of the questions pop up, and I was like, can I have a third response option to this? Because I'm
yes or no is tough. Usually there's like a bit of a scale.
Or can I have the opportunity to rewrite this question in a way that makes a whole lot more sense?
Sounds like you're trying to perfect it.
Oh!
And improve it.
Wow.
Wow.
Slam dunk.
Boom.
Wow.
There was like a few questions where it's like, have you heard people say this about you? And I know in my head that I do this thing, but nobody's told me that I do it. So I answered no.
Hmm.
Because nobody's told me. And the question specifically asked, has anybody told you? So I'm going to be like, I do this, but nobody's told me, so I'm going to say no.
I love it.
So listeners, here's where you come in. Please write in and tell us what you think of our characteristics.
Yeah.
So you can help us answer these questions better.
Tell me how I can improve myself in the world.
That one makes sense for me that would be you. Because I've always seen... What?
One makes sense for me that it would be you.
I had to compute that.
Oh, everyone looks. Everyone like broke eye contact with me and is like,
hey, he's not
thing.
A perfectionist.
Yeah, guys, come on.
Words are hard.
I know they're. Because I have, obviously you are hardworking and I from what I know of you, reliable. But I've also seen you like desire to make our community better, like in a very strong way. And like I want to make this better and I want to add value to what's happening here. Is that correct or incorrect?
Well, I mean, am I going to toot my own horn if I say...
You're not going to toot your own horn.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've seen that from a long time. For a long time.
Well, if anyone's played disc golf in Winkler or Stanley
Park,
you're
welcome. Wow, I forgot
about them.
Yeah, exactly. Whoever has enjoyed coffee in Winkler, you can also say you're welcome to that.
Well, some people have arguably enjoyed coffee and it's been not in an establishment that I would set foot in.
No, they haven't enjoyed it. That's the thing.
Well, that's a topic for another day.
Anyways, I feel like a bit of the lack of, like, this is a legit thing derails a little bit of the potential for it to be like, oh, this is really interesting, but I think it's really interesting.
What? I don't understand the legit thing part?
I don't know if it's proven its legitimacy.
Oh.
Because everybody kind of takes it and it's kind of like, well, I don't know. You know?
The thing is, different people interpret it a different way.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. The thing that's hard for me with these is that I'm answering the questions.
I know.
And when I was doing this, I was doing it as fast as I could, which I feel like was probably the most accurate because I was not thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
I was just like, yes, no. Like, none of them I was that torn about. I was like, whichever I answered, I was pretty confident that it was me. I wasn't trying to be like, this will make my answer at the end better.
Mm.
So that's the thing that I always think about. It's like,
am I creating a bias?
Yeah. am I creating the perfect me?
Yeah.
Oh, here's my question about it.
Yes.
Why is it so hot with Christians? Is there like a...
I don't know.
I think it's just a personality test in general.
I think there's some way that people are drawing it back to...
Specific.
Yeah.
Hmm. Really?
Seems to draw like a lot of super Christians hot do. With Christians. I don't know why. Who was it? Someone at work was asking me, is this like a specifically Christian thing? And I said, I don't know, but I wonder if there was like... I don't know. Hmm. It doesn't seem to have any roots in like Christianity in any way.
Where does it originate? Like, how old is this?
It's like referred to as like an ancient way of like knowing about people's personalities. And I don't know how far back it goes, but. Huh.
Well, that'd be interesting.
Yeah.
But like currently, like, I don't know. I'd never heard of it before.
Yeah, this is a new thing. Brand new. All of these things, whenever I hear about them, I was like, oh, wow, I didn't know it was a thing.
I didn't even know that Christians were a thing.
Yeah, that's new.
That's so new.
Well, I've got some news 1920. For you.
Oh.
No, older than that.
It's ancient from the 1920s.
I was going to say, that's something else.
Started by Gregor Enneagram.
Oh.
You mentioned animal tests, so I Googled it and found one, and I am a mountain goat.
Oh, wow.
Does that sound right to you?
I have no idea.
Okay.
Do explain.
Average size, nimble, dexterous, creative, unsociable, and neurotic.
Holy smokes. What? Okay, is it the same one?
Yeah, it purports to be the original and most accurate personality test on the web.
But what
is the first personality test on the web.
On the web, so it's... Yeah. That means it's the oldest one in recorded human history.
Yeah.
What are the other animals? Is it the other ones I was talking about?
Well, I could tell you which ones are good for me. A bison, a deer, and also a mountain goat.
It must... I don't know.
From the same website, I could tell you what Sharon Osbourne and Dr. Phil are.
Oh, good.
Sharon Osbourne is an eagle. Dr. Phil was a tiger. Hmm. I took the test, and I was a tiger.
Would you rather... Would you rather be or do?
I got a would you rather.
Say it. Perfect. Say it out loud.
All right. Would you rather find what? Why are you laughing?
What is
say it out loud? This is just such a funny response.
Let's say it out loud. Would you rather find $50 every day but have to spend it the same day, or find $15 every day but be allowed to save it?
50 a day.
50 a day
for sure.
Easy.
Even though you have to spend it every single day?
No brainer.
Okay.
I mean, think of all the things that you need and you like save up these purchases for like a week. Like, you eat food every day. You drive your car every day.
It's true.
Wow. That's a different. I'm in the same boat. I would do the same thing, but not for that reason.
Not for practical
what's your reason?
Purchases.
My reason would be for things that I wouldn't want to spend $50 on normally, but I have to today, and I might not need anything today, but I'm going to spend it on some random crap that I found interesting.
Like yeah, that's what that was my thinking
really?
Too. Yeah.
Okay.
Like, you have the $50, so now this thing that I was thinking of but couldn't really justify, well, I have to use this $50, so.
Yeah.
But it also doesn't specify that you can't buy it as a gift for another person.
True. There's very few walls in this one at all.
Yeah, 50 a day, that's...
Mm-hmm. Too easy?
So easy.
50? 50? 50?
50?
50? Yeah, I'll take 52. That one's too easy. We'll do one more.
But you're taking 52?
Yeah, I get
like
more.
All... Oh, geez, Tim.
I'm the question asker. I get extra cash.
Because you asked the question. You get $2 extra.
Would you rather always be overdressed or always be underdressed?
If there's no restrictions, overdressed, because you can always take a layer off.
Nope,
no, but you're
warm.
Always overdressed.
Suit or pajamas.
Oh.
Oh, my.
He's thinking, like, take a blazer off.
Well, I'm often underdressed because I'm a very non-formal human being, and I get myself into a lot of conversations with businesses where everyone is
wearing a
properly
suit.
Dressed, and I'm wearing plaid flannel.
Would you rather always be underdressed?
Yeah, probably.
Rather than always being overdressed?
Yeah. Wouldn't you?
It sounds what do you do? It sounds comfier, to be honest.
Absolutely.
Oh yeah, mm-hmm. Comfier for sure.
But it I mean, okay, but now if we're going to dig into this deeper.
Always.
How underdressed are we talking?
Right, that's what I'm saying. So if
you go to a wedding, what are you wearing?
T-shirt, shorts.
Okay, so
it has to be noticeable. Yeah.
But if it is if it's a casual wedding already, are you showing up in sweats and a tank?
I guess.
Ooh,
you're always underdressed.
Always. Man, now it's got weird.
Right.
To show up into events, like a casual event.
Yeah.
In sweats or
casual
like gym
Fridays
shorts.
At work, you're wearing airy shorts and like a tank top.
What happens if you show up to a pool? You just got to take those trunks off.
In the nude.
Then you're underdressed.
That seems like different than underdressed.
You're just wearing
less clothes.
You got to put
then you're wearing jean shorts or something.
Oh.
Where?
Because you're not dressed for the pool.
Wow.
Oh, wow, yeah.
It can't be illegal.
Goes back to
right. That on there.
You can't be illegal.
Okay.
Come on, Tim. It can't be illegal.
Yeah,
okay.
Don't be
gross. Stop trying to find a way. I'm just kidding.
One way
to be
illegal.
Nude in public.
An ongoing topic.
You stop that.
I'm always looking for the way and I can't find it.
That is actually a, you know what?
It's a decent one, right?
Based on that, I'm going to reverse my answer.
Go
I'm
overdressed.
Say overdressed.
Really?
Right? Because you don't want to show up in pajamas to a casual.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, the supper's casual. It's like family supper, you show up in PJs.
But some people do that.
If you show up, here's an example. They're 529 Wellington, Winnipeg. I don't know if you guys have been there.
I have been.
Heard of the
it's
word.
It's real nice.
Not even allowed to wear a hat in there.
No?
No, I wear my old man hat because I'm bald as heck. And they made me take it off. Because it's formal. If you're not.
What if it's a top hat?
Well, I don't own one, so I've never had that experience.
Good question. But, how about a fedora?
There's legitimately places where you would not be allowed to be if you were underdressed.
Correct.
Oh.
So.
Overdressed.
Yeah.
But I understand there's limits to that because some settings you couldn't be overdressed. Everyone would be actual tuxes.
Right. In which case, the overdress would be top hat, monocle, the whole Mr. Peanut thing.
I guess. There you go. Mr.
That's true.
What do you guys think?
I don't know. I'm not worried about the places that I'm not allowed to be in because.
But to what degree? Underdressed or overdressed?
It has to be notable. That's otherwise the question.
But it could be one article of clothing, right? It wouldn't have to be sweats and a tank top. It could just be sweats or just be tank top.
As long as it's notable. It has to be notable. To me, it has to be. Because it's if it's not notable, if it's you're just blending in with everyone else, then you're not over underdressed.
There's varying degrees of dressedness.
Correct.
I feel like I just made up a word.
You might have.
Nice.
Doesn't make it a word, but yeah.
Hey, we get it though. Therefore, it works.
It's totally true.
I might go back to underdressed if it could just be a small degree of underdress.
People look at you and they're like, oh, you wear pajama shorts to this funeral?
Huh.
And that's fine.
Okay, but what's overdressed for a funeral?
A rental tux with them full out to the nines, shined shoes. I don't know. It's hard to go up. It's like it feels like there's limits.
You're gonna have to see that. You have to see the highest point of which somebody is dressed at any place, and then top them.
Yeah.
There would be limits going up. You couldn't.
But then, what would people think of you? If you're always overdressed, people are gonna think that you're a
freaking pretentious
dink.
Yeah, it's true. Correct. If you're wearing pajama shirts to a event where you should be wearing nicer things, not ideal. Just shorts in general to a lot of different events are interesting garb choice.
This is hard.
It's tricky, right?
John.
I don't know.
I'm so
feel like either way you have to I'm just trying to think of what my strategy would be for playing it off. If I was underdressed, you just look you're really confident in it.
You don't know
people
style.
Are like, oh, I guess this guy didn't even think he needed to dress up for this event. And then you look better than them.
Gym.
You look like a rich guy. You know, rich guys looking like slobs. But then if you're overdressed, then you have to I don't know, play it off ironically. I'm wearing a 3-piece suit. I don't know. I don't know how you would play that off, I guess. So, overdressed.
Agreed.
I started as an underdressed, but
yeah.
Now I'm thinking maybe overdressed.
Perfectionists are in sync here.
Wow.
We would be. There's got to be a personality test done only via...
Would you rather?
Would you rather?
Yes.
But not like, would you rather... People have said that you are kind to them. Right. It's like outrageous would you rathers. And then somehow in the end...
Would you rather have hammers for hands and cinder blocks for feet?
Well, a two would say...
That's exactly what I'm talking about. So everybody does.
Yeah.
That's a tough one.
Over for me. Overdressed.
Over.
I feel like
I'm gonna finish
for
with
like
over.
The way I am, I don't want to appear like I'm being disrespectful or anything in any situation.
Because you're a nine.
Because I'm a nine. I don't know if that works.
For sure it does. You don't want to create any conflict.
Wow.
Boom.
Accurate. So then I would go over. As long as there's
like,
no work
strictly
involved
out of
me.
Respect, you would do it.
Yeah.
I think that's great.
As long as there's no work involved for me, because underdress is infinitely easier.
Yeah.
So if I just walk into a place and suddenly I'm wearing the most overly dressed stuff, then I'm fine with it.
Just put yourself in situations where you don't have to be crazy.
Man, we can read into this so hard.
I know.
Like, we all just said that we'd rather look like pompous douchebags than
relaxed
than
slobs.
Somebody that may not be doing so hot in life.
True.
Wow.
That says a lot more about us than we'd like to dig into.
I think like my original answer was I didn't want to look like above people.
Yeah.
But somehow I ended up answering that in the end anyway.
Can we?
I don't know.
Can we say it depends on the situation, or is this like...
No, that defeats the purpose of a would you rather, my dude.
Frick, I know. I'm trying to find the loophole. This is hard.
It's a good one.
That was a good one.
What do you guys think? Are we confirmed?
What?
Yeah.
Over?
We're all confirmed with over.
Gut reaction was under, but thinking about it was over for me.
Yeah.
Yep.
Wow.
We're all in agreement then.
Yeah.
We're all number ones here today.
Wow.
So true. I'm a four. Yeah.
I'm going to recommend The Politics of Design. It's a book about the politics of design.
Hmm.
Believe it or not. it goes through a bunch of examples of how decisions have been made in different communications throughout history. And it has a wide variety of examples of just how your own experience can dictate how you make decisions. And it really kind of opens your eyes to... I'm making this book sound more important than it is. Look, it's good. If you're a designer, you should read it. It should be mandatory reading.
Is it an interest piece, or would it like influence how you would move forward with design?
Good question.
It's definitely something that kind of sticks in the back of my head.
Yeah.
In my back of my mind, I guess, more than... I don't know what...
Well, I mean, arguably, the mind resides in the head.
Yeah, the mind of the head.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely something that sticks with me. I don't know much more to say about it.
No, it's cool though.
But it's very good.
Well, Jeff, it's been a pleasure.
Has it?
100%.
Don't lie to me.
I wouldn't. I just would tailor my response to be something that you'd like.
Oh, that's wait very a minute. Number four of you.
Number
just
four.
Just kidding. It's been great having you on.
Sweet.
Really appreciate it. But anything you'd like to give your final shout out to before we close down for the evening?
Books. Read books. They're good for your brains. And just obviously got to plug Helium and our awesome people.
Mm.
And not just because I'm involved, but because we've got amazing human beings. And I'm not only saying that because one of them is sitting right there.
That's me.
But I'm just constantly blown away by the dedication of a freaking cool team.
Love it.
Very cool.
There's my plug.
Great plug.
Here.
Should people try to find you online?
I mean, they can if they want.
Okay.
Yeah, if you go to heliumgroup.ca, you'll see some cool illustrations that Tim has done on our website, developed by our awesome team. And you can see what I look like if you go to the team page, which I don't recommend because my face should not be on the internet unless...
It is there.
It's there.
And you told everyone how to find it.
Frick! What am I doing with my life?
Cool. Our... podcasts can be found pretty much everywhere you listen to podcasts, and including Spotify now, which Tim talked about last week.
Finally on there.
But yeah, check out our website. We've got some great stuff on there. I recently talked to someone who was interested in starting their own podcast and was able to point them towards what John put onto our website, which is kind of like a breakdown of everything you need to start a podcast as well as costs. So that's cool. So that's on our website in the About section under Tools.
Yes. or whatevertown.com/tools.
Yep, cool. That's faster. But yeah, keep sending us stuff that you want to hear about, or would you rathers, or things you're interested in, or our feedback to what we've said, and we'll do our best to get it into the show. Yeah. But we appreciate you. Thanks for listening.
Thanks.
It's been Whatever Town.
Thanks.
Peace.
Bye. Goodbye. Okay, quick thing for those of you who stuck around to the end. And if you stuck around to the end and you thought to yourself, I bet my friend wouldn't have stuck around to the end, don't go tell them. Let it be genuine. Make them stick around to the end on their own. Don't be like, hey, stick around to the end of the episode and you'll get this cool thing. Don't do that. I don't know if I'm standing by that statement, but I'm saying it. thanks for those of you who have stuck around to the end. Here's your special treat as we do at the end of... Kidding. As we've done for the first time today at the end of the episode. We got some cool stickers made. And if you are at Whitecap and you spend at least $75... I'm kidding. and you come find me, either I'll be downstairs or I'll be somewhere else. I'll probably be there during the day. And you say the word...
Mule.
And you say the word mule to me. if you say mule to me, you will get a sticker. Providing we have one. And they haven't all been taken out.
Quantities.
We don't have a billion of them. We've got a few. So, yep. Thanks for sticking around to the end. Thanks for stickering around. Kissy face. We love you. Thanks for stickering around to the end. Jeff just said, not going to take credit for that. That was very good.
I like that you do that.
Marketing.
Stickering. Okay, bye.